You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. This episode is sponsored by Samantha Labanzu, who is a multi-award-winning diversity and inclusion strategist and coach and my really good friend and client. Are you ready to take your LinkedIn game to the next level? Well, get ready to join the waitlist for Samantha's highly anticipated book on profitable and inclusive strategies for LinkedIn success, out on May the 1st. This book is packed with insights, tips, and actionable advice that will elevate your professional and business presence on the world's premier professional networking platform. But wait, there's more. When you join the waitlist and grab your copy of the book, you'll also receive access to her hugely popular LinkedIn Mastery Masterclass, valued at over £547 for only £47. That's right, a comprehensive guide to mastering the art of LinkedIn, only £47 with your book purchase. Unlock the secrets to building a profitable and inclusive LinkedIn presence. Join the waitlist now and be among the first to access this invaluable resource. Don't miss out on the opportunity to supercharge your LinkedIn journey. Visit the link now in the show notes to join the waitlist today. Elevate your LinkedIn game, make meaningful connections, and achieve new heights of profitable and inclusive success with Samantha Labanzu's upcoming book. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. Today we're going to talk about ADHD. There is an onset of, in this industry especially, I think on the online industry, people realizing that actually the reason that they haven't been able to do some of the things that their counterparts and their competitors are able to do is because actually they are neurodivergent. And when they realize this, and I've had lots of clients that have done this, it changes everything for them, for the better usually, because it means that they don't try and do things in the same way. I wanted to talk about this because it seems to be affecting so many people right now. And so I've brought on the expert, who is Kim Raine. Kim Raine is an ADHD educator, mentor for entrepreneurs, essentially. And I've known Kim now for a few years. So welcome to the podcast, Kim.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk about your ADHD first, because obviously I was there during you realizing that you had ADHD. So, you know, you came into my mastermind.
Yeah.
And when you came into my mastermind at the beginning, you were all like health coach, fitness, like dieting, all of these things. And will you tell us what happened?
So when I got there, I kind of knew that I had ADHD because my daughter had been diagnosed. What I'd like to say is one of the ways that I kind of found out about ADHD and got into ADHD, if you like, is that I've been coaching 18 or 19 years now, and I was coaching high flying, really successful women who were burning out, who were struggling with their confidence, who were struggling with overwhelm and just trying to keep all those plates spinning. And a lot of them were self-medicating in various ways and forms, whatever that might be. And one of my clients, who was the global head of talent for a huge company that everybody would know, came to me one day and said, "Kim, I think I've got ADHD." And I was like, "What?" I said, "You've not got ADHD." I was thinking, she's so clever. She's so successful. She's so driven. She was the absolute polar opposite of what I believed ADHD to be. And it just set me on this journey that completely changed my entire opinion of what ADHD was, and eventually led to my own ahas of like, realizing that my daughter had ADHD, reading out the symptoms for my husband and saying, who does that sound like? And he went, "Well, that's you, Kim." And I was like, "What?" And it took me, I said, but first of all, it was that understanding of, hang on a minute, this is not the stereotypical everything that I thought it was. And then by the time I came into DI, I was in a place where, like so many of us that with, you know, ADHD, it was like, I had to, onto the next thing. And I knew I wanted to step up. I knew that I, you know, wanted to play bigger. And then I came into DI, and I think that DI was the place where it kind of cracked my ADHD right open, if I'm honest.
It normally does. Like, if there's anything that's there, I mean, you work so intensely in DI that you will see it.
Yeah. And I was playing at a different level. So whereas I'd been quite comfortable, I was now looking around at people who were, you know, excelling. And so the comparisonitis came in, and that feeling of got to keep up, got to keep going. And you know, I'm 50 now as well. So my perimenopause was coming in and I was just like, oh my word. And it just, yeah, it was a time when I just thought I actually have to really genuinely look at this. And by that time, I was kind of naturally changing, because once I realized about my this other client having ADHD, which was before the pandemic, I then started to look around at other clients that I had who had was struggling, and there was always like a bit of an elephant in the room. There was always something that we would be going doing really well, and you'd think they'd cracked it, and then suddenly they'd just completely drop the ball. And I'd be like, well, okay. And we'd pick it up and off we'd go again. And so once I was aware of it, I was starting to help other clients get diagnosed. And being in DI was like, right, Kim, you need to really look at this for yourself. And
let's talk about when you think of ADHD. Let me just tell you what I thought ADHD was. When I first heard of ADHD, it was generally young kids that seemed to be misbehaving more. And people would go, oh, it's because they've got ADHD. Like they can't focus, they can't sit still, all of those things. I hadn't heard of it really in adults until the last few years. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but now everyone has it.
Yeah,
like,
no, absolutely.
There is a 50% of me that is going, well, everyone has it because actually no one bothered diagnosing it before. And all these people had it before too. It's just that they didn't know what was wrong with them and they thought there was something wrong with them and their personality. And now we have the tools to diagnose and therefore it's more out there. People are realizing that they have it. And then there's 50% of me that thinks people find things difficult because things are difficult,
yeah.
But it's nice if they give themselves a label.
Yeah. And I think, and exactly. And do you know what, Lisa? Sometimes I wrestle with that as well. Sometimes I look around and think, oh my God, you know, it's everywhere. So there's a couple of things. I mean, actually, ADHD is highly, highly hereditary. We know that it's more heritable than hair color.
Wow.
So if you have a child with ADHD as a mother, you're 24 times more likely to have it yourself. So it is kind of everywhere, but also adult ADHD wasn't even diagnosed in the UK or recognized until 2008. So it definitely is this thing of where has it all come from? Has everyone got ADHD? And I think that we have to acknowledge that life these days is faster, more difficult. We're all more distracted. We're all less focused. And the trouble with ADHD, or the thing with ADHD is personality traits. We're all a bit, you know, unfocused sometimes. We're all a bit disorganized. We all lose our shit. When I say that, we all lose our mind sometimes. You know, if you have ADHD, you have this on a grander scale, and it's ruining your life, and you've had it since childhood. And I think that we now have the, you know, neuroscience has come on so much since, you know, I was born in 1973. So in my day, you know, we had one boy that had ADHD and we used to be like, yeah, if you give him a Mars bar, he goes crazy, you know, and it was like, it was just like, oh, whoa, look at him. But if you look back at my school reports, Lisa, it literally is, Kim must resist the temptations of feeling silence with a wisecrack, which I still struggle with to this day. You know, I was that naughty child. I really struggled to sit in at school and I had all these things. And I think that it's about what you do with the ADHD.
With it.
Yeah. And it's like, do you get that diagnosis and go, oh, right, okay, I've got ADHD. You know, ADHD isn't my fault, but it is my responsibility. So actually it's like, understand, now I understand, because until I knew that was just that my brain is structurally different. So what we know is that with ADHD, the prefrontal cortex, so the part of the brain that, you know, does your executive function, so it helps you be grown up, help you be mature, helps you regulate your emotions, helps you organize yourself, helps you prioritize, that actually formulates in a neurotypical, in inverted commas, adult by the time they're 25. With those with ADHD, it's nearer 35 to 40 years old. So what happens is we struggle with those things. So there's about a 30% developmental delay, and it's a social delay. It's a maturity delay. It is not intelligence. It's not IQ, But it just means that actually, and now I look back, I'm like, yeah, I did not grow up till I was 40.
No, like you can see it when you look back. I have a friend who's had ADHD since she was a child, and she struggles because she sees people writing a lot now, like ADHD is my superpower and all this. And she was like, it was really hard for me growing up with ADHD. Yeah. It's not a superpower. It is something I've had to battle with. And she finds that difficult. And we've spoken about a lot of the things she's seeing online at the moment. Like, for instance, we were both laughing the other day because there was something that said, you know, there's a hashtag ADHD traits thing that goes around. And somebody put, you know, didn't eat all day and then ate a whole packet of biscuits for dinner, hashtag ADHD traits. And it's like, don't we all do that? Like, hold on a minute, that's not an ADHD trait, that's just something that you're doing. And she really struggles with it because she said it's almost become fashionable to have it. And she doesn't feel like it's fashionable. She feels like it's been a hard struggle for her to get diagnosed with it and to take the medication she takes and those kind of things. And I do worry about that side of it, because if you don't feel like it's your superpower, and I'm assuming there's quite a lot of people that don't,
it's not anybody's superpower, Lisa, to be honest. You know, I wrote the book during DI and I wrote Square Pegs, and I interviewed many of my clients that got diagnosed and other people that have since got diagnosed. And at the end, I said, like, would you change it? Would you change your brain? And they said, everyone said no, but every single person has been through a tough time. And even when you know you've got ADHD, even if you're medicated, you still have days when ADHD is awful. You know, like your mind won't stop racing. You can't find time in between your thoughts. You can't organize yourself. If you're a woman and you add in hormones, you add in time of the month or just having had a baby or the perimenopause. And it's really, really difficult. And, you know, to say it's a superpower, I just went, that's great. If you're talking to a 5-year-old, brilliant. Tell them it's a superpower. That's fantastic. If you're talking to a middle-aged woman and you tell them they've got some sort of superpower, and that actually it means, so they should be able to do even more.
Yeah.
You know, what are they moaning about? I find it quite, I agree with your friend. I just don't think it's very helpful.
No.
There are parts of it that are really good about having ADHD. We can hyper-focus. You know, I know that, you know, in your world, in my world, well, when I sat on the beach with you guys in LA and I did my hot seat, and you know, you said to me, and everyone was like, Kim, you need to just step up and become the ADHD coach. And I was like, I'm not ready to tell people. And everyone was like, Kim, I think everybody knows.
Yeah, you were like proper spiraling out. You were like crying, going, I can't do this. And we were all like, you've got it.
Yeah. For those reasons of like, I didn't want people to go, oh my God, of course she's got ADHD. You know, look at her, she's always been all over the place. I'd gone round and round in circles for years in my business and not got to where I thought I should be. And I can't remember the point I was making now, but working memory is another thing, is to remember what you're talking.
I think we were just basically talking about how it often is a good thing, like hyper-focus, but it's not always a good thing. It can actually make you feel like you can't do some things that you want to do.
Absolutely. And also that's what I was going to say with the entrepreneurial side. I remember saying in that circle, okay, well, how many of you have got ADHD or think you have? And there must have been about 30 or 40 of us in that circle. And people were putting their hands up and I was like, oh my word. And it really made me suddenly think, and there was about 9 or 10 people, plus I'd been coaching some of the people in that circle who some of them didn't even know what I could, you know, you develop a bit of an ADAR, you know, and you can see. And I suddenly thought, oh my God, I'm not here in spite of my ADHD. I'm probably here because of it. I probably push myself more. I take more risks. I do more impulsive stuff. So there's great sides to it. But there's also, you know, up until realizing you've got ADHD, the thought that used to go through my head and I hear from so many of my clients is, what's wrong with me? Because you don't fit in. You know, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do this? Why do I look around at other people doing life so easily, so simply, like, you know, how getting to work, getting the kids to school on time, you know, turning up for World Book Day in perfectly in a costume. And, you know, I'd be turning up like, I didn't even know it was World Book Day, and my kids have, all right, just stick a sheet over yourself and be Casper. You know, I just was like, how do people do this? Because I can't do it. What is wrong with me? And I would burn out all the time. You know, I would go and go, and then my energy would be absolutely on the floor. And that's a huge thing, the burnout with ADHD. And so, for so many men and women, until they know that actually it's like, This is what is happening in your brain. Your brain is structurally different. You've got a, you know, different chemical, you've got chemical imbalances. It doesn't, there's, it's not wrong. Nothing's wrong with you. Your brain just works this way, not that way. It's like, oh my God. Okay. I'm not wrong. I'm just different. And it changes so much.
Well, I assume that even if it does, even if you don't work very differently, once you get that kind of diagnosis, it at least lets you be able to understand why you might be finding things hard. Because I think sometimes one of the hardest things in life is when you see other people who seem to have got all their shit together and you don't seem to. And you're like, there's something wrong with me. Like, if they can do it, why can't I do it? And actually, when you know why you can't do it, it's like me with chronic diseases. I can't do the things that other people do. And for ages, I tried to do the things other people do until I realized that and accepted I have to do things a different way. And I can do things a different way and still succeed. And I do that now.
Exactly. Has that not made a huge difference
Massively.
For you? Because you're not berating. And this is the thing. Instead of berating yourself all the time because, you know, maybe I'll turn up to a meeting or a session and someone say, oh, Kim, have you got so-and-so? And I think, oh my God, you know, I haven't got that file or whatever it is. Instead of thinking, oh my God, what is wrong with me? I'm so useless. Lisa must think, what an idiot. I just think, oh my God, bloody ADHD. 2 seconds, Lisa, I'm just going to go and get the file.
Yeah.
I lose that whole conversation.
Shame on
suddenly
it.
I'm like, yeah, which gives me loads more brain space to go and do what I need to do.
Yeah, I love that. So if somebody's thinking, well, I don't know if I've got ADHD or not, how do you tell if you've got it? Like, is there a test that you take?
So you can go through, you know, the normal channels for diagnosis, which are notoriously huge waiting lists, hard, even privately at the moment. It's
I've
quite
heard
difficult.
That.
There are online tests as well. What I will say, I have a test that I do like give up, but actually very often, particularly when you get to our age, you'll have found coping mechanisms. So I had a male client recently who said, you know, he did the test and he came out with hyperactivity, was like minimal. Now, I know this guy does 4 hours of cardio every day.
That is hyperactivity.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like he's managing it. He's found a strategy. He went and got a diagnosis. But, you know, so what happens is you find coping mechanisms and strategies. But if you think you've got ADHD, you know, start looking online and do some of these tests and see where you fall. And then it is about going down that diagnosis route. If you want to, or if you want to self-diagnose, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he was on the Panorama program. You know, I don't know if you saw it, but they did a thing about how he, you know, talking about ADHD diagnosis and how private companies were, you know, not in integrity and giving them out like Smarties. And they had an NHS doctor, and you know, he put people through this big thing. And the idea of the program was that, you know, it's too easy to get a diagnosis. So this NHS doctor was sort of on the side of that agreement. And once the program came out, 2 days later, he wrote an article in The Guardian and went, actually, I was completely misrepresented there. He said, and in my experience, and I've heard this from somebody else, I wish I could remember his names now, from King's College, most people who think they have ADHD do actually have ADHD, because like I said, they're the people that have been thinking for so long, what the hell's wrong with me? What the hell's wrong with me?
And what if you've got it? So like, let's say you have, do you have to medicate? Is that like the thing that happens next, or do most people not?
So most people with medication are off it in about 5 years. I think it's like 70% of people are off it. Either they've, because what can happen is, they've found a way through it and they've actually started to implement it, you know, doing the things that are going to help them cope. But for lots of people, medication, for most people, medication does work, but for several people, it doesn't. And so it's a really personal journey. You know, I think there's a lot of stigma around medication, like you're cheating or something. But actually, it's just about leveling the playing field. All it does is level, you know, and I think people think, oh, I'm diagnosed, I'm going to go on medication and everything's going to be amazing. Actually, it just normalizes things and you still have to do life and you still have to do it. But I think there's lots of other things that you can do. I think it's definitely worth trying, because I have seen, you know, I was very, very, my background's in health and well-being. I was very natural and do it all holistically. And then I watched clients of mine, some I'd been coaching for years, take medication, and suddenly they were just able to do what they said they were going to do.
And they came before.
Yeah. And before that, you know, like I call them, and I'm put myself in this category, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, but they never actually do. And suddenly they were doing what they said they were gonna do, and that was the difference.
If you don't go the medication route, I presume there are things that you can do, like lifestyle changes that you can make that allow you to be able to be an entrepreneur and to be able to do the things that you need to do in life once you know that you have ADHD.
I mean, the first thing is self-acceptance. It's get rid of that voice in your head that is giving you such a kick in all the time. That I think is the first thing. And then just understanding that the way our brain works. I mean, the FOMO, the trying to do everything at once. It is working with a coach, I believe. That's well documented, like medication, working with a coach, someone who can help you set your expectations. Because we think we can do it all. We think we have to do it right now because we're hyperactive. So it's never enough. That internal hyperactivity that drives us onto the next thing, onto the next thing, onto the next thing. Well, when you understand that because we are always in search of dopamine, very often you're going to get bored before you actually complete a project, which means that you could end up with a graveyard of half-finished courses, projects, etc., over your laptop that so much potential, but someone's offered you a shiny object and you're off over there. And it's just understanding, I think, education of understanding how your brain works then helps you go, that is not the way I'm going to do it. That's not for me. And once you find, get into your groove of how you work, you give yourself permission to go, that doesn't work for me. I'm going to do it that way. And that for me has been a game changer in my business, because I'm like, Kim, do one thing at a time. Once that's finished, on to the next thing. Whereas before I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do it all right now. I'm going to do the book. I'm going to do the course. I'm going to do the podcast. I'm going to,
Yeah,
and
and you
nothing
can't.
done.
It doesn't work.
None.
So you've brought out a accreditation for ADHD coaches, if you like. What made you do that? Why do you think that's important?
So when I put the book out, I wasn't expecting the success that I got and the amount of people that were asking for help.
I was.
You were, weren't you? And you were champion. I mean, you guys were literally pushing me along. And without that, I think that moment on the beach particularly was really uncomfortable. I wanted to tell you all to
Get lost.
I came off the beach, burst into tears, and the rest is sort of history. But the book was, and I just got all these requests for help, and I didn't know who to refer anybody to. So I wanted to be able to provide that, couldn't do it myself. At the same time, what then happened, to do my own study, I had to go to the States. There's nothing in the UK, or there wasn't anything in the UK, and there really isn't much now. And then the other thing that started to happen over the next month, next year, which you'd said would happen, and I kind of knew, was I started to see ADHD X, Y, and Z for everything pop up, and ADHD this, that, and the other, which I think is really good. I have to say, I think that's brilliant, because, we want to work with people that understand our brains and know how we work. But my ADHD is not the next person's ADHD. If I coached everyone through my ADHD, I'd think everybody was late, everybody was disorganized, everybody had to be out there, jazz hands, look at me all the time. It's, lots of people are like fanatical about time, never late, really structured in every single thing they do, to the point of anxiety, and complete introverts. It's a spectrum and it's a scale. And I think that the danger it was and is that your ADHD, if you become an ADHD coach or expert, and you're doing it through the eyes of your own ADHD, you're not really going to be serving the person
No.
the
And
other
so
side.
bringing out this accreditation then helps them to actually be more knowledgeable on all the different ways it can help people.
Exactly. And just really understand what ADHD is. And again, once I started writing it, it's just like, just, oh my God, what about, because it's such a vast topic, that, and research is coming out every single week. And it's just making sure that people have a level of understanding and expertise, because I had done teaching things. I used to teach personal trainers to be personal trainers, used to coach them to be people. So I'd done a little bit of that in the past, but then I've gone into coaching, and suddenly, and you might have found this when you did your strategy and your stuff, it's like, hang on a minute, I'm not just coaching people, I'm educating
Yeah,
people. So now
it's about informing.
Yeah, this I can't, right. Okay, everything has to be researched. It has to be 100% there. And the responsibility that came with that, I found was, whoa, my gosh.
It's
But
huge. It's why we did the strategist accreditation, because otherwise you're like, oh my God, there's going to be people going out there saying the wrong things, not helping people, and actually doing damage because they're not informed. It's like when people get trauma informed. I think that with an ADHD coaching accreditation, it doesn't matter if only 5% of the people that you work with have ADHD. It's worth getting that accreditation because it can only help you by, adding it to the trauma-informed accreditations that you have and all of those kind of things.
And it's just knowing, and it's such tiny little tweaks for people. It's like, okay, we'll break it down into smaller steps. And it's just really understanding how to do it so that you're going to bring the best out. I've had clients come to me and work with coaches that have told them, well, you just don't want it badly enough, that
My
they've paid
gosh.
thousands and thousands and thousands to.
It's your mindset.
It's just like, oh my God, and they're broken. And I'm like, why didn't you do that with your business? Why didn't you, what, oh, I took the website down, I took the page down, because they're so, what's wrong with me? They've put
Yeah.
so much into that, and they've paid this coach who's just reinforced that for them. So
Yeah.
it's
What?
really important
Amazing. If somebody wants to come and find out more about what you do, where is the best place to go to do that?
to me. So I'm on social media as the Entrepreneur's ADHD Coach. Kim Rain Coaching is my website.
Yeah.
That's my dog barking. Can you hear my dog barking?
No, I can hear Sam rustling shopping bags in the kitchen.
Oh, is he?
Joys of podcasting,
I know. Let's keep it real. We're keeping it
we'll
real.
keep it real.
So yeah, kimraincoaching.com. I've got a Facebook group, ADHD Brains in Business. That's a great place to find out stuff if you're sort of wanting to get, more information and find out. Great community over there.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on today and helping us learn more about ADHD. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this has helped you find out a little bit more. We're going to put the links in the show notes if you want to go over and check out what Kim's been doing. And I will see you next week for another episode of Making Money Online.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.